Hello guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to the latest episode. Lucy, how are you doing?
I'm good.
I know
I got life, got me tired.
I know you said you were tired after the gym earlier today, so fair play.
Gym and pounded jam.
Slumped.
I forgot how that food makes me so tired.
How's your week been in general? Obviously Rome, keeping in tune what's going on in Rome and like work as well.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm one of those people who's flexible, so I can work from home when I want.
Nice.
Work in the office. So I prioritize my stuff, which means in the matches that I want to watch, I make sure I work from home.
Good.
So yep. I can watch them peacefully. Unless it's a Friday where there's obviously less people in the office and I could just put my phone. I'm actually thinking of getting an iPad just so that I can watch my tennis matches freely.
Yeah, you need to. It's a must have.
So if anyone want to gift me an iPad, you know, let me know and I will give you my Cash App or my PayPal.
I was going to say, surely with the cookbook sales, you can probably like afford one. Like.
You know what? You're right.
Treat yourself.
But, you know, I don't want to, nobody wants to pay for themselves. I'm just asking, is that someone out there that want to pay for me? Who knows?
Cool. Well, yeah, let's get into it. So yeah, literally this show is just like a roundup of like what's been happening or what's happened now in Rome. Mm-hmm. So I think it's best we start with the ladies. Obviously that final that played out between Iga Świątek and Karolina Pliskova. Was it Christina? I always get them confused.
I think it's Karolina.
But yeah, I think it is. It's Karolina. I think it is, yeah.
But this is Black Spin Global anyways.
But yeah, that final lasted what, 40 under 50 minutes, basically, under an hour. And it was love and love. I think the first time in like, I don't know the specifics, but yeah, it was
they said it's the first time in a long,
I think it's the first time in Rome history. And yeah, the first time in like WTA history for a few years, like as in a final anyway, to be bageled. But yeah, fair play to Świątek. She's now going to be in the top 10. You didn't watch any of the final, did you?
The women's one, no.
Because neither did I, to be honest.
Yeah, the thing is that I didn't think Iga was going to go that hard because she was playing well.
Yeah.
When I was watching some of her matches this tournament, but I didn't think she would like go this crazy. I also do think Pliskova does have this thing where she, I don't know, when she gets to finals. Oh no, actually that's a teller lies. Only on Grand Slams. Because normally, like, she's normally good with WTA like tournaments and stuff. I think maybe she's one of those people that got affected after COVID. Because there's this thing that where I actually didn't realize a lot of people don't like Pliskova.
Maybe
she said something problematic before that I'm unaware of. I don't know. But you know, she was very consistent before COVID. It's just that when she came to Grand Slam, she was flopping a bit. So that's why I was a bit surprised. Like, I didn't expect a bagel, basically.
Yeah.
Not at all. And apparently she's really good at that tournament as well. So that was even more shocking.
She's won it in the past. And I think she reached the final in 2019. So it was a bit of a
surprise. I think she was just having a horrible day. I think it was just not her day because being double bagel, that is...
And that's what she's pretty much said after the match as well. Like, it just really wasn't her day. Like, Świątek was just playing much better. But yeah, if we just like get into the play. So I think besides obviously Świątek winning, Coco Gauff's run to the semi-finals, like incredible. So it was her first semi-final appearance at a WTA 1000 event, which is just incredible. Like, obviously she's still a teenager, still 17 years old. And yeah, she chalked off wins against Yulia Putintseva in the first round. And that was a three set match. And I saw after that match, actually, like some pictures, well, not pictures, but posts. I think it was on Patrick Mouratoglou's IG. He posted on his story, I think it was. He was actually there watching, and Serena was there as well. And I just quite like that.
Oh, Serena was watching Coco as well.
She was watching Coco versus Putintseva. Yeah, and I quite like that. So that was a good win for Coco to beat Putintseva, because I think they're only, I think at the time they were like literally a place apart in the rankings. I think Coco was like 35, Putintseva was like 36 or yeah, basically right. one place apart. And then in the second round, Coco played Maria Sakkari or Sakkari. and that again was another three set match. A bit of a like roller coaster.
Yeah, it was.
How did you think?
It was a good match. I was a bit scared of Coco for that.
Yeah.
You know, she's a big player and stuff. So yeah, so I knew it was going to be a three set thing again. Yeah. I'm going to be totally honest. I did not think that she was going to put it off like both those two first rounds because they're very experienced players. Fair so play. Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, the score against Sakkari was 6-1, 1-6, 6-1. So, like, when you look at it, like, the sets, they were won quite convincingly. But, like, that doesn't really tell the full picture, if that makes sense. And that's the thing with tennis scoring. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, the score doesn't really give you the full kind of, you know, story of what happened in the match.
Yeah, definitely.
But, no, I agree with you. Like, impressive win for Coco against Sakkari. Mm. And then that was her route into the quarterfinals. Or was that it was the third round.
Third round.
And there she met Irina Sabalenka, who's like one of the most players at the moment.
That was a very good match. That was another tough one as well.
This is the thing. Like, so
another tough one that I didn't think that she was going to pull off because Sabalenka just won a clay match. She's been doing really good this clay season and even before the clay season as well. I thought it was a very... What I noticed with Coco during this tournament is that she wasn't making it easy for the players.
Yeah.
And I also do strongly believe that the players underestimate her skills. I think they just see it as, this is just a young girl who just, you know, magically popped out of nowhere, did her thing. But yeah. So I think... That's what I believe because you can just see it, like the way they get better afterwards, whether she loses or wins. Like when she's playing again, like her opponents generally, she makes her opponents play better because then it's like for them, it's like, all right, let me just wake up and level up. So, and she improved a lot during those times as well. But that Sabalenka match was quality from her.
This is what I'm gonna say,
Sabalenka was a bit lost. She didn't make it easy for her. That's why she didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like Sabalenka just did not know what to do. Like she was just everywhere.
Because that was a straight sets win for Coco against Sabalenka. And mm-hmm. like what was like most mm-hmm. impressive is the fact that, like you said, Sabalenka's she's top 10. She's like number 4 in the world. Like so for Coco to kind of like just kind of brush her aside like that.
She's won a lot she's won a lot of tournaments as well.
Like I said, one of the most informed players.
She's got good numbers. She's very, very good.
Because before that meeting, they played each other twice before. The first time was in America, Lexington, the top seed. Remember the top seed open.
Okay.
And Coco won in three sets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time was again later on that year, like I say later on last year, in Ostrava, and Sabalenka won in three sets. Mm-hmm. So like they've always been quite close matches. And I remember after that match in Ostrava, like Sabalenka said some pretty nice things about Coco, saying how like, yeah, she's a teenager, but she's so good already. Like she's only going to keep improving. And like, yeah, she's just, it's just a really, it was a tough match to play against her. Like it was a really good win for her on that day. But yeah, for Coco to kind of, like just brush her aside in straight sets, I thought fair play. So yeah, that was then her win to take her through to the quarterfinals. Where she met world number one Ash Barty, and that was an eventful one again, because there's been quite a lot of like in terms of conditions, it's not been the best with the weather.
even the men's final, for example, I thought it was going to be thin because it was supposed to rain.
Yeah, yeah, very grey skies, but thankfully it was dry. So yeah, in the quarterfinals, Coco met world number one Ash Barty, and yeah, that was an eventful one because they got rained off and had to come back on again. I think they probably got rained off like twice, possibly three times.
Yeah, it messed up the whole schedule.
Yeah, and like, but in that match, I thought Goff started quite well because she broke Barty early on, and then Barty broke back, and then I think, yeah, Barty then won the first set 6-4. And then she was leading, Barty was leading in the second set 2-1, so it was on serve. But then, yeah, she basically withdrew, like she pulled, well, she retired, basically. And it was interesting because she started the match, like there was no, she wasn't wearing like a, she wasn't wearing a sleeve at the start of the match. But when they came back after they returned, after the rain delay, like she had a sleeve on her right arm, which the commentators were like basically picking up on as well. So it's like she was carrying this injury, and she kind of did say afterwards that, yeah, basically she's been, yeah, just like carrying this like injury on the right arm. I think she had her left, one of her legs strapped as well, which she kind of always has done now for a while. Yeah, like it was unfortunate, like Coco like went through in that fashion, but then at the same time, like that's the thing with sport, like you can only play what's in front of you, like, and in tennis, obviously you're going to get retirements, like, so I thought it was, you know, take nothing away from like Coco's, you know, achievements or performances up until this point.
100%,
you know,
yeah,
she earned the right.
She still made it all the way there.
Exactly, she earned the right to you know to reach that far. So that was the semi-final. Now there she met the eventual champion, Iga Świątek. And that match again, did you watch much of that? Or
I watch it, and this goes back to what you said earlier, like when you look at the points or the scores, you like tennis, you're thinking, oh, okay. But actually when you watch the match, especially the first set, it was very tight.
Very tight. Exactly.
Like, it was very, like, very, very tight.
Exactly.
Went to a tie break. Exactly. You know, and then afterwards, I think after that first set, it was like, I think Coco went down a little bit.
Yeah. And, like, it's never a bad thing when you go and when you lose to the eventual champion. So, fair play. And
100%.
I was quite shocked as well to find out, not shocked, but, yeah, just a bit, I don't know, amused, I guess, to find out that Coco was also playing in the doubles. So she was playing with Veronika Kudermetova, and they reached the quarterfinals. So, like, she's had a really good week.
See, Coco does play a lot. She plays a lot of matches.
Yeah, she really gets it in. And, like, with the doubles thing, again, just quickly before we move on, like, I think one thing I always love about watching her play is, like, when she comes to the net, I'm always confident, like, she's going to do, like, she's going to put the ball away because she's just a confident, like, yeah, she knows what she's doing around the net, and that, obviously that plays into her playing a lot of doubles. So yeah, man, shouts out to Coco. She now, I think she's going to be in the top 30, so
that's big,
more than likely to be seeded now for the French Open, which is like huge. And just a massive achievement, and like just very excited for like what's to come for her.
100%. I've always said that as well.
Next up, Serena. Serena returned. So obviously she got a bye into the second round. Being
with
one
her
of the seeds.
I loved her kit. Sorry, I just had to say
really.
It.
It was like the pink.
Like the old kit. Yeah.
With the tie.
She wore
tied
something
up the
a
top.
Bit similar. Yeah, she as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the old Serena. And I just loved it. I loved it.
I thought she looked quite good. Like, that was match 1,000 as well.
It did.
On the WTA Tour, which is just incredible. So, there's only three active players. She now joins them, as in she becomes the third active player on the tour to have played 1,000 matches. So, it's Venus, the other one, and Sam Stosur, which is just a huge, like, again, massive achievement. But, yeah, how...
Yeah,
100%. She lost to Nadia Podoroska. 7-6, 7-5, I think the score was. So again, pretty tight, two tight sets. How do you think she played, or how do you think she looked?
I think she's playing. She played better than I expected.
Yeah.
This is her first clay match.
Exactly, first match since Australia as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Shit. Yeah, she hasn't played in a match in a while. But she definitely played better than I expected. 100%. Like,
yeah.
I didn't think that, you know. And again, you know, she played against someone who's experienced on the surface.
Exactly.
The moment you're playing against one of the Spanish people, whether they're from Spain,
Argentina
or South America, all those type of places, whether they are a top player or not, is always going to be a tricky one, because that's probably the first type of surface they've practice on, mm-hmm. Ellen for years till they could practice on the others.
They grew up on that, exactly.
Exactly. So, so it's not like she lost against, like, you know, she isn't a huge player, but she's a very experienced on clay. So
she reached the Roland Garros. She reached French Open semi-finals last year. So it's like she knows what she's doing on clay.
Yeah, apparently. Exactly. There's that, like, as well. Yeah. And I feel like if anyone who made it through past even the third round of Roland Garros from last year, they can do anything on clay because the conditions were fucking horrible.
Awful, yeah.
Like, I've never been so uninterested in a Grand Slam in my life, because it was just, the condition was just bad. Like, yeah. Even as a fan, just watching it was just bad. So I can't even imagine for them. So, yeah, I'm just happy that she's back. She looked really, she looked good.
She's playing. Playing this week in Palma as well, which we'll talk about later on. Which I think.
Which is what I am so happy about. Which I'm so happy about, because she needs to put in these matches.
Facts. Another one that could do some more matches on clay, Naomi Osaka, who, before we go further, congratulations, the glorious Sportswoman of the Year.
Yes, sir.
She picked up earlier. Well, last week now. Just incredible. Like, obviously, we all know, like, we love her on this pod. So, you know, it was no kind of real mm-hmm. surprise that she won that. But back to the tennis. So she lost to Jessica Pegula, who, again, she's one of the most informed players on the tour again this year. But I thought it was quite interesting, because I had that on in the background. I was working at the time. But Osaka was 3-love up in that first set. And I think she had set points as well. But then ended up losing it again.
Oh, she was doing really good the first, yeah. I was hella confused, like, the first.
And then mm-hmm. she just kind of fell away in the second set. So, yeah, and I said to you after the match as well, we were talking a bit after, I just said, yeah, she needs to just end some more tournaments on clay. Like, that's all she needs to do. Because when she does that and figures it out, like, she will be a force just as much as she is on the hard court. What did
really
you make?
I'm really surprised that she's not... just like you said, like, I was actually watching the match because I really want her to get better at the other two surfaces, just as, like, hard court, you know.
Yeah.
I personally feel like she has more chances on clay than grass.
Interesting.
I think she her playing style, like, she can do really well on clay. I was really surprised because I wasn't expecting, like, something crazy, but because she was playing so well the first three games, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's really good. And then just went down.
Yeah.
But like you said, I just want her to play more clay matches. I really wish that she was playing for that. Was it Emilia Romagna?
Just Palma. Palma. I'm not going to try and pronounce that name. just the Palma 250.
Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, I wish she was going to Palma
Belgrade,
as well.
There's one happening in Belgrade as well. There's another 250 event happening in Belgrade as well.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah. Any other big players playing in Belgrade? Okay. But, yeah, so one of them, I wish she would, because I don't know how she's going to do it going from... That's why, I said to you, you know, off air, I was like, you know what, if she's not going to play any other tournaments, she must just skip everything, go to the UK and practice for grass
Wimbledon
season.
Yeah, just scrap the French Open,
because I know that just scrap, like, to me, I won't waste time if you're not going to be playing that many matches. But then again, Osaka is just like Serena, just not playing that many matches. However, Serena is more experienced. Osaka, I feel like, you know, she just need to, you know, play a little bit more. That would be great. Yeah. But if she's not, if I was her team, I'd be like, if you're not gonna pay, let's just go and just start practicing for grass season and get, because I know that Wimbledon loss of that first round was a lot for her. Yeah. Like, she doesn't even like even talking about Wimbledon, because that's another reason why I feel like she has more chances on clay than grass. I feel like that has haunted her.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm really scared for her for Wimbledon. So that's why I'm just like, yeah. And plus, we're not getting a lot of time for Wimbledon because these grass courts have decided to move.
Just rescheduling.
The French Open.
Yeah.
But we'll see anyway.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not as, like, worried. Like, I just think, yeah, she just needs more matches. So that's just a matter of, like, entering more tournaments. And I think once she does that, like, I think it would have helped if she like played Stuttgart or like one of the other clay court events,
100%.
Charleston, even yep. like before like these Madrid and Rome. But
maybe the check wasn't big enough, and now he does not pay me.
Listen, I'm not looking at anyone's money, but yeah, I'm excited to see what she does because I think she can be a force on all the surfaces, like you said, really and truly. And I think
100%.
I think grass
yeah.
too.
I think I like, actually.
Yeah. I can see it.
I think
I grass.
I
well
think eventually
grass.
I can see it. I can see her
but
doing
it just
well
might
on grass,
take a bit
but
longer.
I think it will be clay. Yeah, yeah, I think she'll have more chance to get clay first and then grass. That's how I feel. I do see her winning all four Grand Slams.
Though. Yeah. And then like
I 100% see her winning all four.
Lastly, wrapping up the women in Rome. So we had Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens in the first round, which was, another eventful one. So Sloane, she lost in qualifying, yeah. in the final round of qualifying anyway, which I thought was like an absolute joke, the fact that she's playing qualifying. But obviously that's because her ranking isn't like up to scratch. She got a lucky loser spot into the first round and it just happened to be drawn against good friend Madison Keys. And that was a three set match that Keys came out on top in the end. Did you watch much of that?
I don't think so. I think I had a meeting during that time. But
again, that was quite up
to be
and
fair,
down.
It was tired. I mean, she's yeah, because Stevens has been beating Keys lately anyway.
Sloane had matches. She had good moments in that match. And she probably should have won, really and truly, because she won the first set, I believe. To be fair to Keys, she kind of like switched on and like really took it to Steven. So that was a good win, I thought, for like Madison going forward. And then in the second round, she met Iga Świątek. And again, like she started quite well in that match. So she was up a break in the first set against Świątek, but then ended up losing in straight sets. We spent quite a lot of time already talking about Madison Keys on this pod, like in the past. Like, I'm a fan. Like, I just think she just needs again more matches.
She doesn't play a lot of matches.
This is the thing. Like, she's got. We spoke about it at the start of the year. Like, she missed out on the Australian Open because of COVID. Her match sharpness.
Yeah, that one she got unlucky.
Exactly, her match sharpness wasn't like up there. Whereas now she's like playing more tournaments, like injury free. Hopefully she can just like find her groove, because again she could be a force on clay. Like, she's won events on clay before, she's done quite well at Roland Garros as well in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if she can put some matches together, like before hopefully she enters an event. Maybe she won't, but hopefully she can do quite well at the French Open. On the men's side now, so we had Felix Auger-Aliassime. He had a decent run, so he reached the third round. And en route to the third round, he did get a top 10 win. So he beat Filip Krajinovic in round one. And that was a three set match. And that was on the Sunday. And it was funny because literally he played Krajinovic in the first round last year. And he lost. He lost in straight sets. So I don't know, like the thinking of like players, like when they play the same player, like at the same event, I don't know, like if psychologically that kind of does anything to them, like it would. I just think it's
pretty
quite,
sure it would 100%.
It
yeah,
must play on your mind a bit.
Definitely.
But yeah, fair play to Felix. He came through, or he won that in three sets. And then in the second round, he took on world number 10 Diego Schwartzman. And to be fair to Schwartzman, like he wasn't playing his best, like he wasn't completely like all there, but Felix just took him apart in straight sets. It was a pretty good performance, I thought, from Felix. And then in the third round, he fell short against Federico Delbonis, another Argentine. But again, as we said with Podoroska, like these people, they grew up on the surface. It's like it's no real shock, really and truly. On Delbonis, quickly, actually, he was a qualifier. So he actually played Francis Tiafoe in the final round of qualifying. They were a set all, and Francis retired in the third set because he rolled his ankle.
Yeah, He threw back over to the States.
Exactly, yeah. But when Delbonis and Felix were on the court, I was thinking, shit, this could have been Felix Francis in the third round, not which would have been pretty interesting to see. But we'd have to wait for that.
Yeah, 100%.
Hopefully we get that soon. So yeah, that was Felix's run to the third round. And then another player that returned after making an appearance at the Australian Open, Lomonf, Gael Monfils. He played Lorenzo Sonego, the home favourite Italian, and lost in three sets, very close sets, I thought, as well. Did you watch much of that match? Or because there was like a bit of controversy.
I think I was at work that day.
Yeah.
I was at work. Because
it was
a midweek.
I think it was Tuesday, I think it was.
I was
a slight like controversial moment.
I heard. I saw the clip when he was talking to him on the net, and then some people DM'd me telling me that basically he was doing the what players do when they're trying to, you know,
just like slow the momentum
to win a game.
Which wasn't a good look, to be fair. And I thought, again, Monfils, he's like one of the most, not one of the most, he is like easily like, yeah, one of the most like likable guys on the tour. Like, so for him to kind of be or feel the need, he needed to address that. Like, it kind of shows it was an issue. Like, because he long story short.
Do you know what's the funniest about that? Is that I think Tennis TV didn't even really understand it. They didn't understand the shade.
Yeah, I agree. So they
compliment. I was just laughing. I was like, man. This is why you need more black people in media, because clearly a black person will be like, hey, that's shade back there.
Because they took it and like spun it, because Monfils was like, oh, you know, I love you. Like, you don't need to be doing this. Like,
they took it literally.
But let me try and explain, and I'm going to do a horrible job, but I'll try my best. So Monfils was winning the match. I want to say he was up a set. And leading in the second, so he had momentum basically, and Sonego kind of saw that, and then did he roll his ankle? That's the thing. It was like such a like innocuous kind of like injury. Like there was no blatant kind of injury that took
place.
That's
why it was so obvious. Yeah, that's why people like, just clocked so easily.
So it's like he kind of cramped as in Sonego, and then. Said to the umpire, like, oh, I need the trainer. And then the umpire was like, what, like right now? And then he was like, well, yeah. So they had to literally stop midway through, like, I think it was a tiebreak they were playing at the time. Midway through the tiebreak, stop.
Absolute crook.
And then, he had like the trainer come on. Didn't really do much. I think just like rubbing his leg. and then gets back up, wins a tiebreak, and then goes on to win the match. And I think, obviously that pissed off Gael Monfils, like quite rightly. And something similar happened. We kind of spoke about it with Francis Tiafoe and Kevin Anderson in Portugal. So like, it's sad, like this, and this thing must happen quite a lot in general, like in matches, but obviously we don't get to see every single tennis match being played, but it's not a good look, like for the player doing it. Basically, and like, yeah, you would think, or you would like to think anyway, that like, yeah, that kind of thing doesn't happen or shouldn't happen anyway. Just back on Monfils, I thought he looked really good. Like we said with Serena, like he hadn't played since Australia. First match on clay as well.
Yeah, he hasn't played in a while, yeah.
He's been having injury issues.
He's been
as
practicing
well.
A lot and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, so I thought he looked really good, like physically. I'm confident he'll get that first win. He's playing this week actually, which we'll talk about later on in Lyon. So hopefully he picks up his first win of the year there. That wraps up our kind of roundup of Rome. Obviously Novak and Nadal were playing in the final as we were recording earlier. Nadal ended up winning in three sets. So I think that's title number 10 in Rome for Nadal. Which is just incredible, but no real surprise, really and truly. But yeah, that kind of wraps up Rome. Like, what did you make of the tournament overall? Obviously, with all the rain delays.
I think it was good. Yeah, I think it was good. It was a good week.
It's nice seeing the crowd as well. Like having a crowd in there, and it wasn't like full capacity.
Yeah, definitely.
But...
It was, it's sort of, fam, I'll take that over nothing.
No, 100%. I did find it funny though, when it came to like 9 o'clock Italian time, they had to like get out the stadium. So they had to like pause the match.
Yeah, because they had curfew.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, which it was a bit of a nuisance. But yeah. No, it's good to see fans back in the stands. So yeah, hopefully we'll see more of that going forward. So yeah, looking ahead now to this week, let's start on the women's side again. So we've got the Palmer 250 event, which we kind of spoke about earlier. Pretty stacked field. So Serena's playing, Venus, Coco Gauff, Sloane Stephens, and Jasmine Paolini, who unfortunately lost in the first round on Sunday. But yeah, they've all... So basically, and I'm just literally going through this now because they've been placed, as in the qualifiers have been placed now. Let me just get this up. Interesting draw. So Serena, she plays 17-year-old Italian. I don't know her first name. I've got here Pigato.
Another clay.
I mean, she's 17. Okay. That's going to be a massive moment for her in her home country, playing against like the legend. Serena Williams, Serena being the top seed, obviously. Venus has another qualifier too, but this is going to be a tough one for Venus. It's Anna Karolina Shmedlova, who she lost to at the French Open last year. I don't know if you remember. Shmedlova is a good player. Shmedlova.
Okay.
Good. She's a good player. Like she's.
And apparently, Serena Venus are also playing thingy
doubles.
Doubles.
Oh, really? That's cool. I don't know that.
Well, they haven't announced it, but it was, maybe it was just a thing. It was just like a screenshot that we saw online.
Okay.
And it hasn't been confirmed. I don't know.
That'd be interesting. Quite exciting. Sloane Stephens, she also has a qualifier. She's playing a fellow American, Cathy McNally, Coco Gauff's doubles partner. That's gonna be an interesting match, I think. I expect Stevens to come through, but I think McNally's going to give her some problems, definitely. And then Coco, she's the third seed, Coco Gauff. She plays Kay Kanapi in the first round. And Kanapi, she had a good run at the Australian Open earlier in the year, but hasn't really done much since then. So, I expect Coco to come through.
Yeah, that's why, yeah.
I expect Coco to come through.
Yeah, I think Coco can win that one. Yeah, 100%, yeah.
And then, like I said, Paolini, she lost on Sunday to the fifth seed, Amanda Anisimova. Again, not a real surprise there, really and truly. Anisimova's a pretty good player, and she knows what she's doing on a clay court too. So, yeah, that's Palmer. I think that's going to be a really good tournament, like pretty stacked field for a 250 event as well. But obviously, French Open around the corner, everyone's looking to get some matches in, which is understandable. I wish Osaka was playing. That would have been something.
I'm really surprised. I'm not going to lie, I'm actually surprised she didn't decide to go.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a thing where she actually doesn't really care about clay that much.
I don't know, man. I think it's too early in her career.
But at the same time, she's been...
For her not to care like that.
Not to care, but she's not... I don't know. I'm 50-50 because she's always spoke about how she wants to improve on the other surfaces, especially on clay and stuff. But I don't know, you would think she will play the other match.
Yeah.
I mean, the other tournaments.
Well, I mean, there's a few next week. Isn't. So let's see if she enters any next week. She'll probably, if she wants the wild card, I'm sure she'll get one. But I don't know, it probably won't happen because obviously the following week is then when the French Open will start. So she's probably just
The only one after Palmer is the Strasbourg one.
Yeah.
It's literally all we have left in terms of clay.
Before the French.
Belgrade, Palmer, Strasbourg. I don't know where we want to go here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. She should just forget about clay. She's not going to look into that. She should come to London now and practice on grass.
Just imagine that she makes a run. Because another player that we haven't really seen much of on clay is Bianca Andreescu. Like, so she hasn't played since, I want to say, Miami.
Girl.
And I think she was meant to play in Palmer, but she also pulled out. I'm not sure why, but yeah.
Wait, she pulled out?
I think, yeah, I saw that she basically withdrew. But they didn't say why. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, especially with the calendar being quite, it's not exactly still with COVID and stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
It's still not, you know, solid in terms of like, you know, this is what we're doing and like, this is kind of how it's been structured. There's still like gaps in it, basically. So I don't think we can be like too critical. Like, not critical. Critical is not the right word, but yeah. I don't know, man. We'll see how the French Open goes. We'll see. On the men's side, so they're in Lyon. We've got quite a few players in Lyon taking place in the ATP 250 event there. So Monfils, Ojeda Eliassim, and Joe Wilfried Tsonga, they're all playing in that. Ojeda Eliassim, he actually reached the final in 2019. So he lost to Benoit Paire in that final. I don't know if you remember that match.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
But that was the last time it was played, because obviously they didn't play last year, it was cancelled. And Tsonga, he's actually won it. He won the first like ever event back in 2017. It's only been going for like 3 years. So yeah, Songa's already a winner there. But yeah, Monfils, he's the fifth seed. He starts against Lloyd Harris, the South African, which that's going to be a tough one because Harris has been playing pretty well this year. Ojeda Eliassim, he's the seventh seed. Again, another tough draw. He's got Lorenzo Sonego, who's like coming off his run in Rome. So tough ones for Monfils and Ojeda Eliassim. And Tsonga, he starts against Tommy Paul, the American. Hopefully he can get a win there. Tommy Paul's been playing some good tennis too, to be fair, this year. But
I
tough draws, but I'm gonna say they're all winnable matches for our guys there. And yeah, I just hope, really, more than anything, I want Monfils to get a win because he's long overdue. Like,
yeah,
it's been 100%. Over a year, so yeah, we hope Monfils has a good week. And then there are two other events, like we said, taking place. So in the men's side, they're in Geneva. Your guy Federer's there, makes his long-awaited return.
Yes. Tuesday. I need to schedule my time. This is why I need the iPad. Because I don't think I'm going to be in the house. This is why I need an iPad.
And then the women are in Belgrade.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to, like, I really miss him.
Yeah. So,
and he really's like an interview thing. I've really got the same impression that I get with him with Serena, which is a thing where we love the sport and we're just going to keep on playing.
Facts, yeah.
As much as people just keep on bringing up retirement and retirement and retirement, but it looks like these people are just like, fam, I'm here.
I'm not expecting much, like, just like, not to spend too much time on Federer, but I'm not expecting to see much from him, like, at the French Open. But Wimbledon, I'm definitely
at all. Wimbledon,
I can see
Wimbledon.
Yeah,
Serena and Federer, please.
Can you imagine?
Please,
damn.
Please. Let's not have that 2019 stress, because that was too much for me.
But no, that wraps up this latest episode, Lucy. So yeah, more tennis on the way, basically. Which is exciting. Obviously we've got the French Open to look forward to as well, so yeah, man, let's just keep our fingers crossed everything goes well. What's the situation in France with lockdown and, like, do you know?
Outdoors are opening from Wednesday.
Oh, so good.
A bit like what happened with us from the 12th. That's basically what's gonna happen with them. From there we're gonna see, but you know, it's
because they want fans in like,
this is what I'm saying. But the reason why I am uncertain is because their cases are still crazy. Yeah. So that's why I don't know how they want this to go, but we will see.
Yeah.
I think they'll still have fans anyways, because if outdoors are opening and, you know, all of it's outdoors, then yeah.
Just wear masks like they've been doing in Rome. I was just going to say, before we finish, we're umming and ahhing about talking about Osaka's Netflix documentary or series, but on like her, or there's like an official verified anyway Instagram account that it's Japanese, but they're saying that it will be available on Netflix from Tuesday. So we don't know if that's in Japan or like worldwide, but yeah, basically that's something to kind of look forward to, and hopefully we'll get that in the coming weeks. Yeah,
maybe it's a drop surprise, we'll see. But I kind of doubt it, because Netflix never really do, they're not really the type to be like, oh, here you go.
Yeah, just a surprise drop.
But yeah, they're not really a surprise, but you never know, maybe they're trying to start it with Osaka. You know, she's a big athlete.
Exactly.
Like, people know who she is.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see it anyways.
Cool. Well, yeah, guys, that wraps up this latest episode. So thank you very much for listening. And yeah, enjoy the tennis in Parma and Lyon. And yeah, we'll catch you on the next one. And that will be our...
And also Geneva. Yeah, we have to. I know this is Black Spin Global, but this Federer Stanley Cup.
The Rog. Indeed. Enjoy, guys. Take care.